Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our weekly EAN podcast. My name is Barbara Tettenborn. I'm the editor-in-chief of e-learning, and on my side for today's podcast is Professor Thomas Berger, who is the chair of the Scientific Committee of the European Academy of Neurology. Since 2018, he is professor of neurology and chair of the Department of Neurology at the Medical University of Vienna in Austria, and very well known from previous podcasts to everybody who listens regularly to our podcast. So hello and very welcome, Thomas.
Hi, Barbara. Very nice also to be on the other side. So this time I'm interviewed rather than moderating.
Yeah, it's a harder part, I think. And today we are talking about the latest EAN Congress, which just took place a few weeks ago in Budapest and was a great success. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about the Congress statistics and what was happening.
No, indeed, I can echo what you said. It was a fantastic Congress, and not only because actively engaged. I think it was the perception of all participants, and the participants were enormously, it were nearly 5,700 or even a little bit more on site in Budapest and approximately 2,000 in a virtual setting. And they came from more than 110 countries worldwide. And it was, apart from the scientific content, it was a kind of very family community meeting. And this was to be recognized on all corners and edges. And it was, and therefore it was a perfect setting. It was a very nice atmosphere. It was gorgeous scientific contact. So I think it was a big success.
As chair of the scientific committee, you are very much involved in the program planning. Can you tell us a few things about the popular topics of this year's Congress, the hot topics of this year?
You know, to be honest, I would have loved to see and participate in much more sessions and workshops and all the different formats which were provided and offered to the participants. Nevertheless, I think there are always some highlights, and I think one is always a kind of long discussion about the overarching topic of an EAN annual congress. And this year's it was neurology beyond the big data. And of course, some symposia, also focused workshops circled around this topic. And the others, I think, for me personally, are the plenary lectures, because they, on the one hand, incorporate named lectures. And this is always a very outstanding and stunning performance of a highly achieved and awarded individual from the neurological community. And the other thing is the highlight session, because this is for me the kind of wrap up of the most important scientific contents of the Congress.
Yeah, the same is true for me. So if I have very little time due to all our board meetings and other stuff to go to sessions, I always try to go to the highlight session in the end. So if we can recommend something to the young ones, they should never miss the highlight session in the end. It's the new stuff around in the world.
Yes, and I think it's always amazing, really amazing, about this enormously high quality of the scientific contact, which I think is self-explaining because this is the nature of our Congress. But nevertheless, if you get this presented in this wrapped up and concentrated way, it is always, as I said, very amazing. Although, of course, not all topics can be covered in this session. So there are every year kind of revolving highlight topics. And usually there are five or six topics presented by well-known and renowned colleagues. And so, as you said, it's the best. It's the best wrap up in a very short time to know what happened during the Congress.
As you mentioned, the overarching theme was neurology beyond big data. So there was a lot going on about digital medicine, artificial intelligence. So in which way can or does digital medicine help us in daily clinical neurology?
Yeah, that's probably not that easy to answer or respond to, because I think we are, although it's urged on every site and everywhere, I think we are on the beginning of a road, because the one issue is that I think the data generation is already there, and we all generate data, clinical, electrophysiological, MRI data, genetic data, whatever. But the next step is to integrate those data to, let's say, a more holistic view. And I think this is the utmost goal of digitalization, because it's not the electronic archive of data we are collecting, because this is already available. It is more the, as I said, the integration in this holistic view. And at the end of the day, we should bring together probably parallel worlds, which are already in terms of data generated, and to find out probably individualized solutions for our patients, individualized profiles, individualized therapies, which is not an academic exercise. It should be, of course, implemented in our routine work. And I think the utmost importance of this is not only the aim of bringing those parallel worlds together in terms of integration, but it should also enable us to spare time again for our core business, which means patient management. And I think that should be one of the utmost goals of digitalization in neurology up in the next years.
Yeah, so nobody should be afraid of digitalization of medicine or artificial intelligence. I heard a lot of people talking, yeah, is that really good for the future? But I also believe strongly that this is an advantage for our future management of patients.
No, I completely agree. And I think the anxiety or the hesitancy is probably on several levels. Of course, one is a big issue, because we are the treasurers of the data of our patients. And I think that's something we need to communicate much better to avoid, of course, that patients or individuals, not necessarily patients, individuals really feel comfortable that their data, individual data, are handled with care and protected. On the other hand, of course, the digitalization, as I said, always is associated with the fear that this causes more workload than we have already. And I think, therefore, again, communication and probably also education is needed to communicate this utmost goal, that it should be an ease in handling the patients and not in an increased workload.
Are there any subspecialties within neurology which profit especially from the use of digital medicine?
You know, from my gut feeling, I would say no, because I think it tackles all of us, be it in terms of, let's say, clinicians, because we are collecting data all day long in a routine patient care management anyway. Then, of course, there are lab data, imaging data, functional data, whatever data are used. And this regards more or less all specialties or all topics of disorders in neurology. So I don't think that there is a specific priority for the one or other disease or disease group. I think it is a matter of all of us, regardless which kind of focused interest we have. And therefore, we also need to engage everybody. And I think this is also a bit met already by EAN. We, as you probably know, we have introduced and implemented a task force on teleneurology, which is, of course, not only remote monitoring of patients, but also tackles the issue of digitalization. And this is kind of overarching matter for all neurological disorders, or also for all people, be it in the research, be it in the clinical routine, be it in the neuropathology, be it in the neuroimaging. So it matters all of us.
Yeah, I strongly believe the same way. It's just trying to get the point for everybody. you know, that digitalization is nothing to get around. You have to do it. You have to involve yourself. And you have to commit yourself if you want to get into the future of neurology. Of course, there was also a focus on brain health according to the brain health mission of the European Academy of Neurology. So what was going on in that regard?
Yeah, I think we have reported already, or we have chatted already in this podcast series about the brain health and the brain health mission. And this has been launched a bit more than a year ago. And therefore, it was, I think, clear that EAN and especially the board members, who are kind of ambassadors of this strategy and mission, concentrated also on this topic during the Budapest Congress. And there have been, and I think this is also part of this mission. It's not an EAN exclusive, splendid isolation activity. It is a, as I think everybody can imagine, that brain health is not a pure neurology issue. It also, of course, includes psychiatry. It includes other specialties, other interest groups. And therefore, there were a couple of meetings, let's say informal meeting or informative meetings, for example, with the president of the American Academy of Neurology, with the president of the World Federation of Neurology. We had TV studio meetings and discussions, and therefore promoting brain health mission primarily among the neurologists, of course, because it's also important to make everybody aware of this mission and strategy. On the other hand, of course, several sessions, scientific sessions, but also sessions in the scientific theater were dedicated to the topic of brain health. And last but not least, of course, I think together with the growing number of partner organizations within the brain health mission, it was also, of course, highlighted that there is the broader the spectrum of partners and the broader the fundament of interested groups, the better it is. And I think one of the key partners is, of course, also the patient organization, the European Federation of Neurological Associations, because, of course, all this we are doing is, at least in part, including matters of patients. However, we also need to recognize that brain health is not only the absence of neurological disorders, or also not only the prevention of neurological disorders by identifying risk factors. It also matters the brain health over our lifespan. And but nevertheless, I think patient organizations, and especially our main partner, EFNA, is of utmost importance for this mission.
Yeah, as you said, brain health is very important for everybody, for the both of us, for everybody in the world. It's the slogan, one life, one brain. So we have to take care of it. And everybody has to, unfortunately, just getting aware of it. It's a pity that it hasn't been done before, but at least now we really make a lot of effort to tell everybody that brain health is the most important issue if we want to grow older with pride.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think the interesting part is that we take it for granted. And I think this is the reason why we neglected it in a certain way, because we take it for granted that probably not everyone, but most of us use their brain in a daily base or hourly base. But I think it's also good to focus on kind of aha experiences. For example, that I think in the post-industrialized societies like in Europe, brain health is one of our capitals. And there was one person I remember who said that the intellectual capital is our oil in Europe. And I think this is completely true. And we need to take care of it. And this means right from the beginning, intrauterine and throughout our lifespan.
Yeah? Yeah, very right. There was also a lot done during the Congress regarding sustainability. So we used reusable materials for the booth and the new heart We had reduced print materials, pre-ordered Congress bags made from materials from previous Congresses. There was public transport provided with access to participants for all public transport throughout Budapest. So I think there's also in that regard a lot done by the European Academy of Neurology. I personally had the impression that the young European neurologists are a very active group, eager to learn, acquire knowledge, and of course they were very happy to be able to meet in person again on a regular basis and have their networking events, which sometimes even leads to lifelong personal friendships, as I myself remember from my first congresses. So what was your personal highlight of the congress?
Yeah, as I already mentioned, I think at the beginning, I think the atmosphere reflected exactly what you said. So there was a huge number of young neurologists attending the Congress, which I think mirrors the fact that from our individual members, the young neurologists are the largest number. So we, EAN is not only a young organization in terms of years, it's also a young organization regarding its members. And I think this is also reflected in the program. On the one hand, there is enormously, I think, excellent educational offers on various stages. And I think this is appreciated by the young neurologists attending the Congress, because this is not only a kind of educational session. There are case-based workshops, hands-on workshops, career development. There was, for example, also the leadership program was launched during the Congress. So there's an enormously, from EAN and especially from the Education and Program Committee and also the Teaching Committee, of course, and E-Learning Committee, Barbara, is, of course, enormously efforts to meet the needs of our major core group. And this was also, as I said, mirrored in the atmosphere. So I had the feeling that even coming from a huge variety of countries, I had the impression that they quickly got engaged. They probably, and it could, you could feel this, build up friendships based on these meetings. They were hanging around in this nice outside area. The networking evening was extremely nice. So I think this builds the community, and the community is only built if also the expectations and also needs are met. And I think, you know, without any pride, but I have to advertise this, that I think EAN is doing a marvelous job, and especially our head office with the various people engaged in the various departments is really dedicated, committed in supporting young neurologists at many, many, many different levels. And as you and I also had to attend a lot of business meetings during the Congress, it was also very obvious that the participation of young neurologists in the various business meeting scientific panels and other committees is of really highly dedicated young neurologists. And I think for us, a bit matured neurologists, this is good, because they are driving us. So they are challenging us, and I think this is the best way.
Yeah, and that's the future of neurology. Thank you very much, Thomas, for this nice talk today, and see you soon.
Yes, it was a big pleasure. We could talk a little bit more about Budapest, but on the other hand, I'm already longing for the next Congress in Helsinki next year. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EAN Cast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.